Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Datamatics Global Services Limited Q1 FY23 earnings conference call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Ms. Asha Gupta from Ernst & Young. Thank you, and over to you, Ms. Gupta.
Thank you, Neil. Good afternoon to all participants in the call today. Welcome to the Q1 FY23 earnings call of Datamatics Global Services Limited. The results and presentation have been already mailed to you, and it is also available on the website www.datamatics.com. In case anyone has not received the copy of press release and presentation, please do write to us and we will be happy to send you off. To take you through the results and to answer your questions, we have with us the top management of the company, represented by Rahul Kanodia, Vice Chairman and CEO, Sandeep Mantri, EVP and Chief Financial Officer, Mitul Mehta, EVP and Chief Marketing Officer. Rahul will start the call with brief overview of the quarter on the business, which will be then followed by financials given by Sandeep. We will then open the floor for Q&A session. As usual, I would like to remind you that anything that is said on this call which gives any outlook or for the future or which can be construed as forward-looking statement must be viewed in conjunction with risk and uncertainties that we face. These risks and uncertainties are included, but not limited to what we have mentioned in the prospectus filed with SEBI and subsequent annual report, which you can find it on our website. With that said, I will now hand over the call to Rahul. Over to you, Rahul.
Thank you, Asha, and welcome and thank you everyone for joining our Q1 FY23 earnings call. Before I start sharing the business update, I would like to inform you all that from this quarter we have reclassified our business into three segments: Digital Technologies, Digital Operations, and Digital Experiences. Till the financial year 2022, we used to classify them into two segments, which is IT Services and Business Process Management. The relook at our classification is primarily driven by three factors. First, most customers are increasing their deployment of digital technologies, and Datamatics has been playing an active role in supporting them in this journey. As legacy technologies are passé, the future market and growth lies in rapid adoption of and migration to digital technologies, which includes cloud, DevOps, low-code, no-code, and SaaS platforms, digital workplace, analytics, and artificial intelligence. Second, almost all of our back-office operations are delivered on the back of digital platforms, and going forward, this would be the mainstay in delivering operations outsourcing. Our digitally augmented suite of technologies power our operations to deliver process excellence. The suite comprises of smart workflows, mobility, robotic process automation with TruBot, intelligent document processing with TruCapt Plus, AI/ML models in TruAI, and business intelligence, which is TruBI. Third, the customer experience has become central to success of all companies. Today, all these companies have a multi-channel engagement model with their customers. With technology penetration permeating our lives, it becomes paramount for companies to deliver a seamless digital experience to an increasingly younger customer base. Our expertise in customer management processes and technologies ensure superior and consistent customer experience across the entire customer life cycle. With all these factors coming together, and with Datamatics well-entrenched in delivering digital solutions to our customers, it becomes imperative for Datamatics to reposition itself to capture market opportunities and more accurately represent our value proposition, which enables enterprises to go deep in digital to boost their productivity, customer experience, and competitive advantage. Coming to the business updates, I am happy with the overall performance of the business. We have started the year on a strong note, delivering a revenue growth of 13.6% on a year-on-year basis. The growth was broad-based across all three segments. On a Y-on-Y basis, our new deal closure has increased by 27% in Q1 of this year as compared to Q1 of last financial year. In this quarter, we signed a total contract value for about $19.3 million, and for a sequential quarter comparison, we had signed a total contract value of $14.5 million in quarter four. Our EBIT margins on the year-on-year basis have shown a marginal improvement from 11.6% to 12% in the quarter. However, on a sequential basis, it has dropped slightly by 148 basis points from 13.5% to 12%, primarily due to annual salary increments and investments in our products. Although across the industry we have seen a drop in margins in this quarter, we are confident that our margins should be stable during this fiscal year. Our margins in digital technologies were negative. This is primarily for five reasons. First, we have invested heavily in our true suite of products and fair collection platform. Our expenses have increased by 4.3 crores in this quarter compared to Q1 of last year. These investments are now starting to yield results, and in Q1 we acquired 10 new customers. Additionally, last year we signed two large AFC deals with Kolkata and NCRTC valued at 350 crores. These products have kicked off, and this year we will see revenue accrual from both of them, which will make us the leading player in AFC market. Second, there is a shrinkage in one of our large and highly profitable customers due to a multi-vendor strategy adopted by them recently. Third, 77% of our revenues in digital technologies is generated from India and the Middle East. These regions are very price-sensitive and low-margin territories. We have started taking corrective action on this front by renegotiating our prices and focusing more on the U.S. and European markets. I am happy to state that our efforts in the U.S. are showing good results, and our pipeline has increased by 32% over Q1 of last year. Fourth, some of our services are low-margin offerings, and we also have some low-profitability customers. Here, we are systematically changing our service portfolio to focus on more high-margin solution areas and de-weeding low-margin customers. Fifth, the current market is facing strong headwinds on the supply side, resulting in unusual increase in salaries and talent acquisition cost. To counter this, we have stepped up our investments in hiring, training, and upskilling all our employees. Our margins in digital operations and digital experience are healthy at 23.3% and 23.2% respectively. We expect these operations to continue giving healthy margins in the same range. Although the macroeconomic environment with the war in Ukraine and the economic wars with Russia and China, coupled with the inflation in the US and Europe, pose a concern in terms of a looming recession and therefore a shrinkage in demand, we have not experienced a slowdown yet. Although we remain cautious about a possible downturn, to date we have seen a very healthy demand environment for our services. In conclusion, going forward, we are optimistic about the overall demand environment and are confident of maintaining the growth of around 15% in the coming year. With that, I will now hand over a call to our CFO, Mr. Sandeep Mantri. Sandeep, over to you.
Thank you, Rahul. Welcome, everyone, and thank you for joining us in Quarter 1 FY23 earnings call. As explained by Rahul, effective this quarter, we are changing our segment with our deep in digital approach, and therefore, we have changed our segment reporting from traditional IT and BPM to digital technology, digital experience, and digital operations. And also, effective this quarter, we are reporting EBIT and not EBITDA for segment. With this now, let me take you through the financial performance for the quarter ended June 30th, 2022. Our Q1 FY22-23 revenue stood at 326.9 crores, which is 4.3% up on a sequential basis and 13.6% on YOY basis. Our consolidated EBIT grew by 17.9% on YOY basis. The EBIT margin for this quarter is 12% compared to 11% in last year same quarter. However, on sequential basis, our margin has dropped slightly from 13.5% to 12% due to higher increments and higher spend on product development and marketing. We saw the drop, margin drop across industry in the range of 1 to 2.5% in this quarter. We aspire to maintain a healthy double-digit margin in the coming quarters. Our other income for the quarter was 13.2 crores compared to 12.2 crore in the last quarter, which is an increase of about 1 crore on a quarterly basis. This other income comprises of one-time income, investment income, and exchange fluctuations. Our PBT before exceptional item was at 51.6 crore compared to 53 crore in the last quarter and 36.7 crore in the last year same quarter, which is 2.7% less on quarter-on-quarter basis, but 40.5% more on YOY basis. Our tax rate for the quarter is 17.3% compared to 19.1% in FY 21-22. We expect to maintain the tax rate north of 20% in this year. Our EPS for the quarter was at 7.36 per share, which is higher than last year same period, which stood at 6.72 per share in the last year quarter. On segment, our segment-wise results are as follows. Our digital revenue was at 147.5 crores, a growth of 3.6% sequentially and 18% on YOY basis. Digital operations EBIT margin was healthy at 23.3%, which is 300 basis point up on a YOY basis, and its contribution to total revenue was 45%. Our digital experience revenue was at 46.2 crores, a growth of 15.7% sequentially and 18.9% on YOY basis. Digital experience EBIT margin was at 23.2%, and its contribution to total revenue was 14%. Our digital technology revenue was at 133 crore, which is a growth of 1.6% sequentially and 7.5% on YOY basis. Our digital technology EBIT margin for the quarter remains at a negative of 4.3%, primarily due to higher spend on product platform development and sales and marketing, as well as shrinkage in one of our large profitable customer due to a multi-vendor strategy adopted by them. Our digital technology contribution to total revenue was 41%. Coming to balance sheet, we continue to remain healthy. As on June 30, 2022, our liquid and cash net of debt stood at 388.6 crores. Our DSO was at 69 days as of June 22 as compared to 74 days in March. In terms of geographical footprint, our U.S. is the largest geography with 55% of our business coming from U.S. India is 25%, and the rest of the world, including UK and Europe, is 20%. In terms of industry footprint, BFSI continue to remain largest segment for us, which is 25% of our revenue, followed by education and publishing, which is 23%, and then technology and consulting at 22%, manufacturing, infra, and logistics at 13%, 7% is non-profit or non-governmental organization, and rest are 3% of our total revenue. Our client contribution remains very healthy, with top 5, 10, 20 clients contributing to 25%, 37%, and 50% respectively. And this quarter we added 19 new clients in the quarter. These were the update on the financial for the quarter. Thank you for your patience and continued interest in Datamatics. With this, I will now pass on the call to operator to open the floor for question and answer session. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Participants, you may press star and one to ask the question. The first question is from the line of NGN from Enam Securities. Please go ahead.
In the context of where the world is moving on digital, to some of your own digital assets that you have built over a period of time, and you have a nice set of digital assets for the automation assets and digital modernization assets. The three businesses that you have, they all have great potential going forward. So let's start from each of these businesses, starting from digital operations. So this is a business where you have high levels of productivity, high levels of margins. And what's the outlook for this? So this business can grow greater than what it is today. How much can it get better? What I mean is, how do you focus on large deals today? So how do you win larger deals than what you have been winning? How do you focus on many million-dollar accounts, 1 to 5 to 10 to 20 million accounts? And so that's where that can happen only when you win large deals. Large deals can construct number of million-dollar account of high potential. So if you can take us through that, that will be useful. I also see some very interesting commentary on the operation side and the deal win qualities. You have talked about 5-6 deal wins. So if you can comment about potential of each deal win, that will be useful.
Okay. On digital operations and digital experiences, digital operations is more, the way we differentiate between the two is digital experience is more front office, where there's customer engagement, multi-channel engagement with end customers. Digital operations tends to be more back office, which is internal operations to the banks, insurance companies, those types of companies, publishing houses, retail. So the opportunities are vibrant because a lot of these guys are now being driven on the back of the digital platforms that we have. And given that we are seeing good traction, we are seeing also larger deal sizes. We have in the past won some. We are on the verge of winning a few more. We have recently been covered by Gartner in their Magic Quadrant, and that speaks volumes of our offerings. We've won a few deals that are $1 million, $2 million deals. They are, in a relative sense, still small, but nevertheless larger than many deals. But our U.S. focus is giving us access to a lot more larger deals. And I am very optimistic about these deals. On the customer experience front, we have an extremely good pipeline. Those deals are also fairly large, anywhere from a TCV of 3 million, 5 million to even upwards of 10 million. And we have won a few deals, and we are right now in this race on in several other deals which are looking extremely promising. So there's a lot of what we do with digital proctoring. So this is not a call center. So we do a lot of work with data and proctoring, and that's looking extremely promising, more so than the digital operations. Not that it's a bad area, but it's looking very, very promising. So both of these, I think, our pipeline is looking very robust with large deals in the pipeline. So I'm very confident that we'll have a good run on these fronts. In terms of the details of deal wins, I don't think I would be at liberty to disclose some of those details, obviously because they're customer specific and sensitive. Suffice to say that, you know, they're all large enterprises, and they are potentially highly scalable. So once you're in a large customer, you can scale, and that could become several $1 million deals for us.
And what's the largest deal you have won recently?
Well, in the AFC space, as I mentioned, we won in the last quarter of last year two deals totaling to 350 crores in value. So those are the larger deals. In the BPM space, in the enterprise, in the digital experiences, we got deals of $10 to $15 million. And in the digital operations, we've got deals in the pipeline, I'm talking about a pipeline, of between $2 to $5 million.
This $10 to $15 million single deal you're talking about?
Yes.
Single deal of 10 to 15?
Yes. It's a TCV, total contract value, obviously to be executed over maybe 3 to 5 years.
3 to 5 years, then. Okay. So this is, and what kind of margins these deals will have?
There's a range. Each deal is slightly different, anywhere from 40 to 60% depending on the deal and depending on how well it takes off. Also, it is right now with the current fluidity in the market, with the way the costs are going up, that is, I think, a range, because that the way salaries are going up is crazy, and therefore whether we maintain the margin or not is something that's questionable.
So you think the potential for growing operations portfolio is?
I just want to clarify those margins. I'm talking about gross margins.
Gross margins. Yeah. Gross margins. Okay. How do you grow? You are saying that the operations vertical is difficult to grow because there you have reached the potential already, or?
No. I think we, as I said, have a good, healthy pipeline. Our focus on the U.S. is delivering results. Our U.S. pipeline has also increased substantially. And I don't think there's anything restricting the growth. We just have to be as long as we deliver well and aggressively sell, there's no challenge that we face on growth. Today, of course, there's a bit of a challenge with the manpower shortage that you see in the industry. But I think that situation is probably going to be short-lived, and probably in 6 to 9 months that should settle down.
So which group can grow faster? Is it the operations or technology or experience?
I think of the three, the digital experiences will grow fastest. They follow, it is also partly because it's a smaller base, followed by digital operations, followed by digital technologies.
So digital experience is smallest or digital technology is smallest? Digital technology I thought is smallest.
No, digital experience is the smallest.
10%.
Digital experience is smallest. Okay.
Yes.
So technology includes your metro and all that stuff.
Also, yes. That's correct.
Also. I see. I think your experience margin is very low now, almost negative margin, isn't it? So how do you get...
23.2%
EBIT margin. EBIT margin,
23.2%.
Yes. No, I'm getting confused with the technology. I think technology is the low margin.
Yeah, technology is low margin, and in my address, it was right now running at -4%. And
how do you drive that margin up?
Yeah, so I did talk about it in my address, that there are five steps that we are taking. One is, of course, there's a huge investment we made in the products, but these investments are now beginning to show results because some of the deal wins will start delivering the benefits that we have invested for. The second is there was a slight shrinkage in one of our key customers, which is a very profitable customer because they went with a multi-vendor strategy. The third was... we have 77% of our revenues coming from India and Middle East. And we are pivoting out of India and Middle East towards the U.S. and Europe. And the results are right now in the U.S., our pipeline has improved by about 32%, which is very healthy. And I'm slowing down the efforts in India and Middle East and pushing more efforts in Europe and the U.S. The fourth was in terms of de-weeding some low-margin customers, exiting from those projects, and also changing our service portfolio and focusing more on the high-margin offerings and projects and reducing the emphasis on the low-margin ones. So a lot of internal pressure on moving away from those. And finally, we are trying to address the current headwinds with the salary hike that we see across the industry, but I suspect that should settle down in about 6 to 9 months because the current trend cannot continue for so long.
Hmm. And what about the automation business, the new one on the block?
Yeah, so
getting better?
That's much better. As I mentioned, we've got 10 new customers in the first quarter of this year. If we continue that trajectory, we should end up between 40 to 50 new customers in this financial year, which is looking very healthy. Some of those deals are also large deals. As they materialize, I'm sure we will talk about it in our quarterly earnings calls.
And what are the deal sizes in this?
It ranges from a very small value. Sometimes customers are just testing it and they were $20,000, $30,000, $50,000. Some of the better ones would go to about $1 million per annum kind of deal.
I see. And potentially this can be $1 million kind of deals, most of them.
They would always start small. $100,000, $200,000 is normal over, say, 2 or 3 years. So you're talking about $60,000, $70,000 per annum kind of deal. They start like this and then they'll scale depending on how well it delivers. So far, we've got very good traction. The analyst coverage has been excellent. Customer feedback has been excellent. So far, we've had very, very good feedback from both the customers as well as the... And I'm talking about US and European customers, not Indian customers. And also the analysts like Gartner, Forrester, Everest, these guys, you know. And they're benchmarking us with all the other products in the market. And they're giving us extremely encouraging feedback.
And what's the revenue model for this?
So right now, we've not called this out because of a couple of reasons. And therefore, we don't disclose these numbers. One is that there is some component of direct customers and there is some component of indirect customers where we bundle it along with some services. So we need to call that out and we'll go through some motions of sort of segregating our financials. Once we do that, we will be able to give a better picture.
Is there a license, transaction, maintenance, application? How does it work?
A lot of it is licenses, and when it's bundled with our thing, it goes as a platform.
Platform.
It goes as a platform when it's bundled with our services. It can be a bolt-on to our workflow. It can be a standalone. So it varies customer to customer depending on what they're looking for.
But is there an implementation post-maintenance, implementation revenue also?
There is a small implementation revenue at the time of selling. Very often we would even give that to a partner. So partners implement it. And if the customer prefers that Datamatics implements it or the partner is struggling, then we step in and we implement it as well.
So what is the ratio of license to implementation? Will it be 1:1, 1:1, or 1:1.5? How much is that?
Yeah, so I'll answer that. Hi, this is Mitul here. So typically it is about 1:4, but implementation is...
Then it's attractive. If it is 1:4, it will be attractive.
Yes. So, and then it is... So implementation is first time and then this licensing cost goes every year.
So 1:4, you mean $1 is $4 services for that was implementing or the other way?
Yes. $4 to services, $1 to license. Services is time bound one time, license is annual.
Then this business should grow faster than what it is today. If it is 1:4, that's how the ERP business grew, that the hyperscalers are growing. You know? So if that is the case, why it's not growing?
Yeah, you know, so the services part we are trying to give to our partners because the partners then get us new...
Correct. But unless the partner gets 4, you won't get $1 million, which is very profitable.
That is correct.
That's true. But this is a recurring revenue stream. At the same time, it's license cost, so... at some point in time, this financial will pivot in a much healthier.
And this license is payable over how upfront or
annually? It's paid annually, and of course, depending on the deal, we tend to give payment structures and milestones if the customer wants. But ideally, we take it upfront.
So it's more like a SaaS license.
Absolutely, it is a SaaS.
It's a SaaS license.
Yes.
So when do you see the kicking off? When you're saying it's 1:4, it should really kick off quickly.
Yeah.
Unless the potential is going away, Because, what I see is when you see these stock prices of automation anywhere and all, it doesn't say that things are looking good for the industry. So I think you should quickly deploy this and get into your partners making more money, Then only you can make money.
Correct. So we have stepped up our marketing activity and sales activity around this quite a bit this year.
In fact, last December, we also relaunched our partner program to make our partners more active in this space, right? We're seeing good traction on that. A lot of partners are much more active and upgrading their skill sets on the product and everything. So, we've seen the green shoots, if I have to summarize it. We are hoping and we are fairly hopeful on growing this business.
Do you think some of the GSIs will be interested in this?
Sorry?
The global system integrators?
Absolutely. So they're, while on one hand they are enterprises, but there are global system integrators who are looking at a larger solutioning deal to incorporate this the product, and also BPM vendors who are you know looking at automating processes at the core of their operations. So market is
signed up with anybody, any global GSI?
So we have TCS as one of our global GSIs. We have many regional players as global GSIs, and especially you know mid-sized companies who are more vertical focused, more regional focused. So those are the ones which are.
Do they have a serious team deployed for this cause or?
The smaller mid-sized ones have, the larger ones, because they're carrying multiple offerings to the month and multiple products, have not yet fully kicked in. They compare, or not compare, because they have other engagements with other product companies, but the smaller middle ones are kicking in quite well.
You see a big number coming next year?
This year we will test it. If the current run rate of 10 logos in a quarter continues, then we should have about 40-50 logos within this year, or hopefully even more. I think this year will be very crucial for testing the waters, and right now it's looking very promising.
So when do you see a $5-10 million kind of revenue coming from this?
I think towards the end of the year we'll get a good sense of where we are. We've got another 3 quarters to go, so I think we'll be in good shape. Maybe good. After 6 months or 9 months, a quarter,
six
we
months.
Can have that discussion, yeah.
Excellent. Thank you, Rahul. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you. Participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Shubhankar Oja from SKS Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for this opportunity. So just wanted to better explanation on this digital technologies. Why your margin dropped to negative 4.5%? For what reason, and what is the outlook here with respect to the margin?
So as explained by Rahul Shubhankar, there were a couple of reasons. So one was we are investing heavily in our product space, which is into you know product core development as well as marketing and sales. So this time we have spent quite heavily on our sales and marketing product in addition to the regular product development. Second is one of our highly profitable customer have you know has a shrink in business because of a multi-vendor strategy, which has resulted into shrinkage in revenue from that customer, and that was highly profitable. So to that extent our margin you know got compromised. Third thing is the demand environment in this IT space, technology space, where we have seen, you know, quite unusual increment this time, and that has also resulted into cost increase and, you know, margin, lower margin in this space. So I think in next 6 to 9, we need to see next 2 to 3 quarters, and the problem will be fixed, but it will take time, its own time. Because of these reasons, which are obvious and stated.
But I do feel that we'll see a turnaround within this financial year.
Yeah, within this financial year.
2 to 3 quarters from now, we'll see the results showing up.
But if you see overall, we are quite stable in terms of our margins with this business and other businesses. The margins are stable and healthy, and we continue to maintain a healthy margin a bit.
Okay, and with respect to this, I mean, you said you started investing heavily in this. Is there a percentage of sales for this particular vertical that you're putting in?
Not as of now, a percentage of sales, because right now the strategy is more to, you know, basically capture the share, market share in this space, rather than, you know, putting a budget or putting a percentage to sales, specifically in product and platform businesses.
Okay. And overall, so you said that you know, 15% kind of a revenue growth for this year is likely, right? And,
yes.
and you expect a stable margin for this year?
Yes, yes.
Despite this vertical not being achieving the earlier margin, right? I mean, is that assumption?
That's the correct assumption.
That's great, actually. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Shubhankar.
Thank you. Participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. Ladies and gentlemen, you may press star and one to ask a question. Next question is from the line of Shreya, a retail investor. Please go ahead. Shreya, may I request you to unmute your line and go ahead with the question, please?
Hello?
Yes, we can hear you now.
Yeah. My question is, are you bidding for any AFC projects outside India?
Yes, we are bidding for some AFC projects outside India as well. Yes, that's correct.
Okay. So, can we have some details about it?
Well, there are right now three odd large ones, and they would tantamount to approximately $30 million total. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I'm not so sure I would want to give the details of these dossiers, but yes, we are increasingly focusing on opportunities outside of India.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Participants, you may press star and one to ask the question. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one. A reminder to all the participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. As there are no further questions, I now hand the conference over to the management for closing comments.
So thank you everyone for spending your time with us on this call. And we look forward to connecting with you again next quarter. And thank you for your support and confidence in Datamatics. Have a good day.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, everyone.
Thank you. On behalf of Datamatics Global Services Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us. You may now disconnect your lines. Thank you.